When Harry Potter died for the first time, crumpled in forest mulch, he didn't go to a squeaky clean King's Cross station. There were no crescent moon glasses to twinkle kindly at him. He stood under an old olive tree, and a little girl looked up at him with those eyes that needed shielding, needed blunting, needed a manufacturer's warning. "A wind's coming," she said. "You can just go. It will be easy." He stood outside Diagon Alley, a Muggle payphone tucked beneath his shoulder and ear. "You're in books," she said, with a breathlessness he barely heard for years. There had been too much weight on his shoulders, on hers. "You're done," she said. "You've done enough. Go on. Tap 3 bricks up and 2 to the left." He stood in Godric's Hollow, in the snow, holding her hand, looking at the ruined house. "You should have had this," she said. She was 7 and small, not 19 and weary like she had been in life. The sky was overcast, but there was sunlight glinting in her hair. "You can still have this. You can have everything." "You're not real," Harry said. "But you are," she said. "There's a wind coming. It will be easy." "You've never done anything easy in your life," he said. She took both his hands. Hers were so small against his grown fingers, his broad palms. And how had they done everything with hands that small? Basilisks and werewolves shouting down teachers from atop desk chairs. Harry was sitting in his cupboard in the light of its single light bulb. And he was too big for this space, his shoulders curling forward, his head bowing. She was standing there with sunlight still in her hair and her arms piled high with books. "You don't belong here," she said. "It will hurt. You won't fit. You won't fit if you go back. Everything can be easy. Everything can be fine. It doesn't have to hurt ever again." "Hermione," he said, and leaned forward, put his hands on hers where they were gripping her books. "I'll be all right." He smiled, and she was staring at him with those eyes, those goddamn eyes. "We never fit. Remember?" "We tried," she said, and Harry squeezed her small hands gently. "Send me back," he said. "I want to go home." After the battle, as Hogwarts rang with frantic healing, crushed grief, and raging celebration, the three of them retreated to the library. Hermione hauled them down narrow aisles until she found her favorite tuckaway nook, and they all collapsed on sagging sofas that seemed to not have been touched at all by the war. "Well," said Hermione, "what now?" Ron let his head flop back against the seat, hair tumbling all over his pale forehead. "I'm going to nap," he said, "for a month." "That's not physiologically possible," said Hermione, "or if it is, then it'd be a coma."
"It's a metaphor," Ron said,
Then, no, wait, a hyperbole. Hermione beamed at him. He blushed a little and elbowed her gently. After this, you'll be in books, you know. After this, you'll be in books, you know, Harry told her. Not, I mean. Hermione rubbed at her nose furiously. Ron laughed enough to wake up and sit up. Ron laughed enough to wake up and sit up, throwing an arm around her shoulders. While Ron came up with outlandish titles for Hermione's eventual. While Ron came up with outlandish titles for Hermione's eventual many biographies, Harry pulled his feet up onto the sofa and watched the candles float quietly between the shelves. The end.